Thank you, as always, to Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa for their presenting sponsorship of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. The red carpet sales event continues at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Walk the red carpet for huge savings from General Manager Brian Danahy. Get a 2018 XT5 for only $359 a month, zero down, plus save up to $16,000 off all remaining 2017s or 0% financing for up to 72 months. Only at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Click EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and, of course, see the dealer for all the details. And in Brandon, our friends at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, you can save now on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. And, of course, there are fantastic lease offers right there at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon on Causeway Boulevard. Thank you again, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Tuesday on the award-winning Ira Kaufman Podcast. Steve Isbitz here from JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper from JoeBucksFan is in the house. And the star of the show is Mr. Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Here he is, presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Ira, you know, we just heard the offers from Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. I wanted to mention one other one. It's on our website right now and all month long. ATS Lease 2018 for $291 a month, zero down.
Are you kidding me?
And it's only a 27-month lease if you're looking for something short. Very interesting, Ira. The offers keep coming.
$291? My cable bill's more than that, DeCamper. What's going on over here?
I know you straightened out your water bill, but your water bill was running more than that, too.
It was. It was running wild. Hey, we're at the park over here today, Steve. Beautiful day. We got stray dogs running around. We're going to be talking about stray free agents running around. So it's all good in Buckland.
It is all good. The podcast rolls on. Thank you for subscribing, Podbean, Google Play, wherever, Player FM, iTunes, of course, Apple Podcasts.
Lee just gave us an update on how well this podcast is doing. I'm snugly fit in there at number 41. It's a beautiful thing.
You're closing in on 4 months on the Google Play top charts, all genres. So
this ain't no fluke, DeCamper.
There's only two sports podcasts that are over you right now. And obviously this fluctuates every week. One is Crossing Broad Street, Philly-centric, of course.
And they ain't 5-11, DeCamper. Let's put it like that.
And the other one's this Wojciechowski character who does this NBA stuff. I want to know the guy from a lineup.
Steve, I'm number 3 in sports, and there's like 12 podcasts just in Tampa.
Number 1 football-centric,
Ira. What's going on in Tampa?
Right. You're number 1 in football.
We got more podcasts than wins.
Ira, don't get too cocky. You got a ways to go. Google Play is not the biggest app out there, but it's impressive. Very impressive.
I'm big in Kuala Lumpur, man. I'm moving up.
I talked to somebody about this recently in the know on the national scale, not in Tampa, who said, how is that possible? That was the first response. So that's a good thing.
You also told them how much you're paying me, and they said, how is that possible? So let's finish the whole thing. Let's finish the circa.
Anyway, all right, doesn't matter. Enough stroking each other here, Sage. Let's get
to... Hey, I'm still pissed off about Minneapolis, but that's...
All right, calm down. Calm down. We're over it. Ira, that we learn over the weekend that the Buccaneers have parted ways with defensive line coach Jay Hayes.
You learn over the weekend if you're up at 1 in the morning, Steve. That's when you learn.
Last I checked, Ira, the Buccaneers stopped playing in January. December 31st.
6 weeks, baby. 6 weeks.
January 1st, Dirk Cutter's out there giving his farewell address, and here we are. So what do you make of the move? Why this late? What's the deal?
Lee, looks bizarre. Looks strange. Something squirrely about it. Some people are suggesting it took 6 weeks for Dirk Cutter to check out the film and realize that the defensive line didn't get the job done. It sounds to me, Lee, and you know what? I'm going to step up for Jay Hayes in this situation, because in 2016, the D-line did a pretty good job on sacks, and in 2017, they finished last. And, Lee, I'm going to suggest in this particular case, I'm going to be very specific here, I think it's more a case of personnel than coaching. As far as Jay, now, I'm not going to say he did a stellar job, but let's go back to the timing for a second, Lee. 6 weeks, head coaches came and went, assistants came and went. Maybe Dirk Cutter's not going to be able to get the guy he wants at this point. That suggests to me there's more to it than meets the eye. Why did it take 6 weeks, Lee?
Let me tell you?
Go ahead.
I smell Glazer.
You smell Glazer?
I'm going to hearken to January 2000. A week after the Super Bowl, the Pro Bowl was being held in Honolulu. Bucks coaches were there.
This is the year the Bucks lost that 11-6 game to the Rams.
Yeah, because the immortal Tony Dungy offense could not score a touchdown in the playoffs.
And the Bert Emanuel non-catch.
Hurt Emanuel.
Yeah.
Hurt Emanuel.
All right, so what happened?
So, Bucks coaching staff is coaching the Pro Bowl because they lost the NFC
Championship. When it was in Hawaii.
In Honolulu. And Mike Shula got a tap on the shoulder. You're ordered home. You're done. You're gone. And since then, Father Dungy made it clear that was not his call. We know whose call it was. And, again, that was the week after the Super Bowl. What time is it now? A week after the Super Bowl. Now, to your point about the defensive line, obviously, you know, they were rotten. And that falls on him eventually. To be fair, he was handcuffed with no defensive ends. You know, the Bucks banked on two hurt guys to come back. That didn't happen. It blew up in their faces.
Paid Golston to come back.
Well, here's the thing. That gets to the next point. Highly paid people took major steps back. Swaggy Baker, for whatever reason, he couldn't reach him. Half a sack. Well, I guarantee you, Jason Light didn't sign him that kind of contract for half a sack. Robert Ayers, I love the guy. Mr. Beasting, two sacks. Will Golston, zip. $19 million. That gets the attention of certain people who cut checks. $19 million for 2.5 sacks.
So you're talking about development. Development.
Well, not even development. When guys go back that bad, highly paid guys, I'm sorry, the defensive line coach is going to take a hit. Now, if he was running stupid stunts, which is insinuation from Warren Sapp, because he was ordered to, well, then he's a scapegoat. But if that was his call and all the production was on him, $19 million for 2.5 sacks? He's got to take the fall. I just smell Glazer. I really do. The timing, and you add up the cost, I smell Glazer.
What's your interpretation of the timing? Not the decision, but the timing.
Ira, nobody cares what I have to say as much as they care about what you have to say. So I want to hear more. What is this? What is going on here? Jay Hayes is cut. Who made this decision? Why is it happening? Are they targeting somebody else? What do you think here? Dig deep for me, Sage.
Something happened. Something
what?
Happened.
What happened? Did he curse out Dirk Cutter?
No, I don't mean something happened with Jay Hayes. I mean, there was chatter. There was chatter. It reached ownership. It reached Cutter. Chatter about silly things that they were doing that were non-productive. It could have came from existing players, perhaps McCoy, who's the leader of that unit.
Who has kvetched about the system.
You know, Sapp has weighed in without question.
He's weighed in more than just publicly.
Maybe the Glazers talked to somebody else outside the organization. Wouldn't be the first time.
No.
The word got back. You know, poorly coached. Poorly coached. But, Steve, I'm going to say it again. He didn't have a lot to work with. Jay Hayes didn't have a lot to work with. And I think there's other coaches on this team that had more to work with that were equally underachieving. So, is Hayes going to be the fall guy? Right now, it looks a little bit like he's a fall guy.
All right, Ira, we don't get to see contracts, coaches' contracts. All we can do is assume that your typical contract, which we know, the typical one given to an assistant coach across the league is 2 years. So, we can assume that when Jay Hayes came in here, he got a 2-year contract guaranteed.
And he lasted 2 years.
Right. So, we were led to believe that all the coaches were renewed. Right, I think there was even reports of that status quo, everybody's coming back, and Jay Hayes was one of these guys who got a new deal, or they exercised a 1-year option, something that meant we're paying Jay Hayes for 2018. So are you telling the good people of Tampa and beyond and Guam and wherever else they listen to you that Jay Hayes was paid for 2018 and somebody swooped in here with new information after an analysis of the coaching staff and the team, and now they're going to cut him and pay somebody else?
No, I'm not saying that.
So what's going on?
I'm not saying that. Maybe his contract lapsed, you know, at a certain point. I certainly don't think they're paying him for 2018, Lee, and then make a decision on February 10th to get rid of the guy. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
It's happened before.
You know, I want to know why it took 6 weeks to make this decision.
That's why I smell Glazer.
This is very strange. Steve, now Cutter did say when we asked him if the coaching staff's intact, he said, as of now. Remember that? Even that was a little suspicious.
Yes, but he was playing it safe because he didn't know. Let's say someone got, you know, Jim Mercy fell off the wagon and decided to hire Mike Smith as head coach. He didn't know
and
that.
And, Steve, this begs a question. When you do this on February 10th, Steve, can you get a quality upgrade? Can you get a quality upgrade on Jay Hayes? Or do you bump up somebody on the staff that is on the contract?
You can get a quality upgrade. There's a whole slew of college coaches out there that you should know somebody. And you have to pick the right coach for your guys, too. We don't know if the Bucks plan to draft 3 defensive ends. Maybe an internal decision was made about the direction of the draft, and they thought that after that decision was made, maybe it didn't match up with Jay Hayes. We could speculate all day long, but I got to go back to this, Ira. If, as you claim, they're not paying Jay Hayes, most likely, you assume, for 2018, didn't they just screw Jay Hayes by firing him February 10th? The guy's a decent guy with 15 years coaching in the league, and now you're going to cut him loose in February when he can't get a job? What do you think of that?
I think the answer is yes. It's the unfortunate side of coaching, the unfortunate side of the NFL being a business. Lee, that's why I say something happened. And I don't mean Jay Hayes screwed up or something.
Just to be clear, you don't think Jay Hayes, there was something untoward that he
said? No, I don't think so. Now, hold on, quick question.
Take all your time. I'm not doing anything.
Was Jay Hayes representing the Bucks in Mobile at the Senior Bowl? Thought I might have read that Jay Hayes was
he
there.
He could have been, but he's a fixture with the defensive line at the Combine for years. A fixture. So
He also has been a fixture in the time that he's been with the Bucks, going out to scout defensive linemen personally at pro days and things. He was actually, I think if I remember correctly, he was like the only one who was at Noah Spence's private workout or ran it for Noah Spence. And so he's been involved. I don't know. The whole thing smells
guys,
awfully
what's,
fishy.
What's the one thing Cutter said specifically about the defense after the season? He said one thing. The first thing he said is we didn't score enough points. That's
true.
On him.
Yep.
We didn't score enough points.
That's the offense.
Certainly got more talent on the offensive side of the ball than defense. That's on him. He admits that. Second thing he said was we couldn't generate enough of a pass rush with a four-man rush. Look, if Jay Hayes is taking the fall for a lousy pass rush, Jay Hayes wasn't responsible for the blitzing linebackers failing to get there.
Thank you.
So there's more to the story, Steve. The failure just wasn't the guys up front. They had no pass rush, period, with Mike Smith blitzing extensively.
All right, Sage, let me float you a quick theory on Hayes.
You got a theory?
Well, I got a theory because that's all we have right now. The Buccaneers and their fabulous job of communicating. They don't say anything about this coach who's gone, nothing. That's where we sit on Monday anyway. So all we have is to theorize now.
Have the Bucs put out a release on Jay Hayes?
Well, no, I was going to get to that. I don't know about it. I have not received a release. However, last time I checked, last time I was online at the Bucs website, which is about 1 o'clock Monday morning, his profile was still up there. So if you want to go conspiracy here, his profile was still up on the website.
Well, it might be down already. We don't know. I did see on, I think it was USA Today, they pulled a tweet from Hayes' Twitter account, and he quoted some sort of, I don't know who he quoted.
I saw it Saturday night.
Some sort of
Socrates? Who did he quote?
It sounded Socratic a little bit there. I don't know.
Oh, we're getting real deep now. Socratic.
A little philosophical?
Yeah, a little philosophical.
Yeah, something about when you see obstacles in your way or something like that.
Yeah, just like, hey, sort of a, I'll translate. I got fired and I'm going to pretend it's a good thing.
I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
And I'm going to move on.
But here's a quick theory, Ira. D and Lee, you know, I don't think you've heard this either. I floated it out on my award-winning podcast. And maybe it's baloney, but I think it makes sense. I thought about it a while. This is what I do in the shower. I think about these things.
We're not going to ask what the Kemper does in the shower.
Continue. No, we're not going
to. You may continue.
All right. So the Buccaneers.
I'm singing Bette Midler songs in the shower.
Oh, we know that.
You know
that. That's too much information.
Yeah, there you go.
So the Buccaneers, they evaluate all their players after the season, right? Of course, they sit down. They you know, compile grades and analyze and coaches, self-scouting, and they grade their coaches and all that stuff. So, and then they craft a plan for free agency and finalize a plan for the draft as it matches the free agency plan, whatever they do, that's what they do. So maybe the Bucs went over the field of free agents out there on the D-line, which is very thin this year. Maybe they looked at everybody and they decided, you know what? We're going to bring back Golston because there's not much out there, and we're going to bring him back.
Oof.
And he's young, and he's got talent. He plays a run.
And we're going to count on Noah Spence again.
And we're going to obviously bring back Noah Spence because he's brutally inexpensive, and if he's healthy, he'll be in camp. And you know what? Because the crop is so thin at defensive ends, even though we might like a guy that we're going to target, we're going to bring Robert Ayers back, and we're going to invest there and pay him again. And he understands that he's going to have more of a rotational role. And then if they just made that decision, Ira, and then they said, you know what? Jay Hayes didn't get through to those guys. So if we're going to bring them all back, we need a new coach. That's just a thought.
Well, here's my thought, Lee. And this sounds a little harsh, but I'll say it. I'll be the only one here to say it.
Say it!
On the way out the door, I believe Jay Hayes had every right to look at the personnel department and say, I didn't have much to work with, gentlemen, and walks out the door. And I think he'd have every right to say that.
He has every right to say that, but still, Ayers, major step back. Golston, invisible. Swaggy Baker, couldn't get through to him. That's three guys, again, $19 million. I'm sorry, that's on Jay Hayes. When those guys go back that badly, something's up.
Jay Hayes didn't target Swaggy Baker.
No, but still, he took a step back, Ira. He wasn't even average. He was horrible.
It's a good argument.
Baker wasn't the same since he humped that tree in the Hard Knocks. No, it wasn't the same.
It's a good argument. It's a good argument. I lean more toward Lee Ira only because Golston is a young player who was under Hayes for 2 years. The guy clearly went backwards in his pass rushing, and this is a guy with a good work ethic, with talent, with some unique skills. He went backwards.
Take it easy. Take it easy, Isbitz. When Golston got a sack a couple of years ago, Kemper in the press box and said, Golston got a sack. Hey, Golston got a sack.
Well, yeah, that's something. Like
that's something you expect.
A couple of years ago, yeah.
But what was he averaging? Like 4 sacks a year?
Yeah, it was like 2.5. But you go to zero. Yeah. I mean, come on.
All right, I'll give you a line. I don't know if you read the story, but I was saying that, you know, the Bucks are so desperate defensive end that if Tom Bahaly is cut loose, which it looks like he will be.
I'm a Chiefs fan. Don't get me started on Tom Bahaly. He hasn't done anything in about 3 years.
Well, same as Golston. I say the Bucks are so desperate, give him a workout. What the hell? What do you got to lose? Oh. And here was the line I used.
And he's old.
Yeah,
and
but here was the line I used. He had 4 sacks last. Oh, no. It was the Buffalo Bills. Shaq Lawson. Shaq Lawson, again, another guy that's hurt.
High draft pick, Shaq Lawson.
High draft pick. He was hurt. Evidently, he's on the outs with McDermott up in Buffalo. He had 4 sacks last year. My line was, normally I would say he had 4 times as many sacks as Golston, but with my limited range in math, even though I know you multiply anything by zero, it's still zero.
you're reaching the Kemper.
They should be reaching.
Tom Bahaly over here.
They should be reaching.
I'm glad.
They should be reaching.
I'm glad Lee mentioned Tom Bahaly because while Tom Bahaly is not, I mean,
toast.
He's probably toasting. It's a reach. But it's not a reach in a thought as it relates to the Bucks because you got the worst possible D line around. But your Chiefs, everybody knows you're a Chiefs fan. If they don't know, you're a Chiefs fan going back to the before they
AFL days.
Before they became a team in 1938. And no, seriously, Ira, the reports came out that the Chiefs are looking to probably blow up their defense and go younger as they
heard me scream about the Chief defense with that Bob Sutton guy.
Yeah, you're right.
Right, and
they kept him.
It appears Bob Sutton, who's going to be staying, they're not blaming him. They want to get younger and change the complexion of the defense. Okay, now, last I knew, Justin Houston is on that defense. He's a guy who isn't what he used to be with his 20-something sack season, but he had 9-plus sacks last year. He's a legit pass rusher. He gets paid a lot of money, and I think he's going to be 29, something like that. So if they're looking to restructure, and would you, if you could swing a deal for Justin Houston, Mr. Chiefs fan who watches him all the time, would you advise Jason Light to do that?
Well, I believe he's listed as a linebacker. Justin Houston. You'd have to trade for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Would you make a deal like that? And, of course, he's comes off the edge, and you know maybe he could transition, maybe
Justin
he doesn't.
Justin Houston's a legitimate playmaker, Lee. He's a legitimate
player. Sure.
And he's not 33 like Holly. Tom Bahaly's done.
I think
he's
so, done. Too. But still and, give him a tryout.
And one of the Chiefs' priorities going in the draft is the pass rush. It's not good enough. It was woeful. You know, you remember that Monday night game, Derek Carr tore him apart.
Yeah.
And there's been so many games when that happened to them. And I see they cut Revis.
They did.
And
yep.
So he's done. Mm-hmm. I think Revis is done. If you can get Justin Houston, I think that's certainly worth the deal. I wouldn't give him a number one. I wouldn't give him a first-round pick. But if I could get him for a player and a two or a three, he's legit. The difference between him and Tom Bahaly is night and day.
I just figured I'd ask you, as we reach for defensive end help out there, you mentioned that the Chiefs are looking for pass rush help in the draft. If you really start to study all the teams, half the teams are looking for pass rush help.
Yeah.
That's how thin it is.
Can I say this real quick about Jay Hayes? Personally, I really feel bad for him. He's a good dude, but this stuck out in my mind last summer. And remember when they, not Cutter or Light, but the Bucks front office brought in Simeon Rice? Kind of like a dog and pony show kind of thing.
Yes.
And since he was here, why don't you work out with Noah Spence for a day?
He worked a lot with Spence.
Yeah. Spence said after that workout, he heard and learned things he had never heard before from Rice about rushing a passer. I put that in the back of my mind. That was kind of a light bulb moment. Like, you're hearing stuff from Rice you never heard before?
I know what you mean. I wouldn't read too much into it, Lee. I understand your
I just
point,
thought that was very interesting.
But Rice was an elite rusher, a possible Hall of Fame
very much
rusher,
so.
And a student of the game, because I think that's a big misconception about Simeon Rice. People say, he was just a physical specimen. First of all, he worked out like an animal.
Yes.
He
still
had
does.
A tremendous work ethic. And when you're on that level, you know, Jason Taylor,
Strahan.
Ricky Jackson, Strahan,
Ricky Jackson.
Kevin Green. When
Styles
you're at that
White.
Level, mm-hmm. when you're at that level, it's more than your physical ability. Because guys can handle you if you don't have moves and you keep doing the same thing, right?
Oh, very much so. I just thought it was very interesting. You know, Jay Hayes, a veteran coach, been around 15 years. Allegedly, he was one of the better defensive line coaches in the NFL. And Noah Spence is learning stuff from Rice he never heard of before. I just thought that was very interesting.
Steve, as we sit here in almost mid-February, it's almost getting difficult to imagine what the Bucs are going to do to really pump up this pass rush if they don't get a Chubb at 7. And I don't think they're going to give up resources and move up in the draft. I don't think that's going to happen.
Remember this about Chubb. Rookie defensive ends rarely make an impact. So people are thinking that Chubb's going to be the magic elixir. Well,
like
not going to happen.
Like Steve says, it's thin. It's thin in free agency.
Oh,
it's
beyond thin. They're going to have to make a trade. And I'll say this about...
You just said it. They're not the only team looking for pass rushers.
No, they're not. But they're the most desperate one. Because you got Jobs on the line.
Coe's on the line? Or Jobs
more,
on the line?
Jobs on the line. You got coaches and perhaps your GM is on the line if they don't fix that freaking defensive line. Here's a Jay Hayes replacement. I'm just going to throw this out there. The guy who first mentioned it was Greg Allman of the Times. He put it on Twitter. It jogged my memory. I got a great
Stay
story.
Stay classic, Steve.
I got a great story for you here, Ira. Last summer, I'm in Las Vegas. It was one of these travel days, just complete and total nightmare. You've had them. You fly enough. You have these days where it looks like it's going to be smooth, and it's a complete horror show.
Well, I had the 250-pound woman.
The what kind of woman?
260.
Well, come on.
That's all I'm going to give you.
Oh, you out there? You're going to say?
No, that's all I'm giving you.
Okay, no.
She's the one who told me to close down the flap.
No poppercosh.
No poppercosh.
Okay, anyway.
So what happened to you?
Oh, it was like I didn't get to Vegas till 10. I had a direct flight. It got screwed up. I had to pigeon hop all across the country. I finally get there 10 hours after I'm
supposed
to. That's
what you get for booking Spirit to try to save a couple of bucks.
You threw a whole day away. Anyway, I get there. I check into the posh Aria Resort and Casino. And the only thing I wanted to do was get a decent meal, you know. So I go down to Aria Cafe and I sit
little
down.
Little buffet, baby?
No, it's like a regular all cafe, right. Like a high-end diner they have right. there. So it was 9 o'clock at night and there's hardly anybody in there. 3 or 4 tables away from me. There's a dude in all Cardinals gear, shirt, cap, you name it. It's like, man, that guy looks like Brenton Buckner, who was the defensive line coach for the Cardinals.
Wow.
And I remember him from Hard Knocks. Man, like, I can't be Brenton. Coaches don't wear team gear.
Former
out.
Carolina Panther.
Yes. And, you know as well as I do, coaches and players don't wear gear out in public, especially when they're on vacation. I can't be Brenton Buckner. So anyway, he was walking by me after he finished his dinner, and I got his attention. I said, if I didn't know any better, I'd swear you're Brenston Buckner. He looks at me and goes, I am Brenston Buckner. And I'm like, holy smokes. And we talked for about 10 minutes, and it turns out he's very close with Jason Light.
Well, if the Bucks hire him, you can tell him that story. DeCepi, you'll be in like Flynn.
Well, the reason why I'm telling the story is he talked about, by the way, he knew who Joe Buck's fan was.
Wow.
Yeah, which kind of a little surprise. At any rate, he talked about Jason Light. They're really close, and the thing that he told me that I thought was really interesting he had some kind of sign in his office that was in the background of Hard Knocks, something about quitters, like quitters are treasonous or something like that. And I talked to him, asked him about that. He went off on quitters, like, oh my gosh, they're criminals. They steal money off the plate of your children. And he went on and on about that, how it disgusts them. And I can just picture this guy working with Swaggy Baker.
Steve, he's a man who knows what a pass rush feels like because he was part of that 4-man front for the Panthers in the early 2000s. It was almost comparable to the Bucks. In fact, there was a little rivalry between the front four.
Oh, when the Bucks were good, you mean?
When the Bucks, and of course, Julius Peppers.
Yes.
Was the lead guy,
uh-huh.
But they had others.
Yes.
And Buckner was a defensive tackle.
Yep.
I believe.
And he has played in at times.
And they had some players up front. They were formidable, Steve.
You think John Fox comes in here to coach D-line?
See how you're starting over there.
All right. I'm just teasing. It's a fantastic story by Lee. If you missed it or you want to read more about it, it's on JoeBucksFan.com.
Did you pick up Buckner's tab, but the
Kemper? First, not. He makes more money than me.
He finished eating already. You didn't pay attention. All right. Now, look, as we're talking about the D-line and free agency coming up, we just talked about the thinness on the D-line, other teams looking, and it's going to be hard to upgrade the pass rush. You said, Ira, Lee said, Bucks rookie DNs don't make a giant splash. I disagree with both because of how bad the Bucks' defensive line is.
That's true.
If we get a defensive end who's a rookie and he gets what Noah Spence did, which was 5 or 5.5 sacks as a rookie, hey, we've upgraded big time.
And I didn't say rookies don't have an impact. Put that one on DeKemper.
That is on DeKemper, but the one you said is...
Now, mind you, Spence was hurt, too.
Yeah, as a rookie, yeah.
All right, now you're pointing the finger at me.
You're telling me, there's not much out there. Well, if we find some guy, and we've given some names out there, we find some guy who can get...
Five or six sacks.
Five sacks. We've got double, triple the production. So the Bucks can easily get with what they can draft and find on free agent market. Maybe they can go from the 32nd pass rush in the league to the 20th. And that's going to improve this team a lot. So I disagree. I think there's a lot can be done because we're so freaking bad. That's why.
Okay.
So, all right. Sage?
You want to get to the middle of the pack. That's what you want.
Yeah, close to it. Yeah, I mean, we're terrible.
You're not going to be Jacksonville. You're not going to be Pittsburgh.
No, but it's progress.
No, but yeah.
You know, when people whine every once in a while, Steve or I will put out there, you know, maybe the Bucks should target defensive end X and he only has seven sacks or eight sacks, and of course our readers, no, we need better. I'm like, well, compared to what the Bucks have, seven sacks is freaking Reggie White.
Let me say one more thing. Sometimes we get a little hung up on sacks.
Say two, Ira. It's your podcast.
All right, Lee, you can overemphasize. You got to expand your focus because I'm into pressures.
Yeah,
I'm
agree.
Into pressures.
I know where you're going.
Move Breeze off his spot. You know, hurry Matt Ryan. You didn't put him on the ground, but you made him throw it before you wanted to. And the DB didn't have to cover for 4.1 seconds. Instead, it was 2.8 seconds. That makes a huge difference. Can get hung up a little too much on sacks.
I fully agree with you, but two things. One, sacks kind of tells you they're getting pressure, number one. Number two, you were at Atlanta. I was at New Orleans game. What kind of pressure did they have on Breeze and Ryan?
Basically none.
Thank you.
You know, one thing I look at on the post-game stat sheet, Steve, because I already know how many sacks they have. Everybody knows when the game's over. I look at the hits.
Sure.
I look at the QB hits, and virtually every game, the Bucks lost that battle.
Yes.
That's a big stat. Like
Bette Midler had more hits than the Bucks pass rush. No, Ira, seriously.
If you keep hitting guys, now they're looking for pressure when it's not even there.
Sure, it's in their head.
It's in their head.
And, of course, we get hung up on sacks because that's easy. However, I don't think we even really get that hung up on sacks because after last season, when the Bucks were ninth in the NFL in sacks, after 2016, they were ninth in the league. Most of that was blitz generated, but they weren't as bad as they are this year by any stretch. We were still calling this team needs an edge rusher, so we still knew that we needed help on the edge and not to rely on Spence and Jaquise Smith and Robert Ayers getting older. So we knew that the need was there because the consistent rush was never there. It was sporadic. But when you have guys who can make plays. And make a play here, that's what win games, right? So if we pick up some, we draft a D-end who can get 5-6 sacks, pick up a guy who can get 5 sacks, those you could have 2 game-winning sacks in there. So
you know
that's
what's
what
great about sacks, Lee?
Here's why.
Yeah, they're drive killers, or they're supposed to be. Because if it's 2nd and 17, you're not supposed to get a first down.
Thank you, yeah.
So you're right about that. And, you know, maybe one every 8 or 10 of those, you're stripping the ball too.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuff adds up. So, look, I'm not saying sacks aren't the real deal.
I understand.
But there's more to it.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. All right, Ira, let's remind everybody, EdmoresCadillacTampa.com, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. Very serious. That's where you go. Only Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County. They present Ira's podcast. They love him, and we love them. You know, it's been a relationship with JoeBucksFan.com and Edmores Cadillac Tampa. Believe it started in 2010. All the way through, every month, all the way since. So maybe in 2011, I don't know, but still, it's a lot of time, and it says a lot, and we feel great about them. All right, Ira, free agency, 29 days from right now. The dinner bell rings Wednesday, 4 o'clock, March 14th. The Bucks are going to make moves. The legal tampering that they call it starts 2 days before. Let me hit you with one guy that just because it's too much fun to have you and Lee here to not bring up this guy. Before we get into what's out there, Charles Sims. He's played 4 years.
Look at Ira.
Ira, we did a poll.
You're like Russo with Marv Levy. I mean, the Simpsons on every podcast.
I got to ask you, right? So I put a poll up last week.
What did the poll say?
You won't like it, Ira.
The poll said, thanks for reading Joe Bucks fan, Ira, by the way.
What did the poll say?
The poll said, should the Bucks re-sign running back Charles Sims?
You won't like it, Ira.
Now, got about four.
Yeah, I yawned too when I think of Charles Sims.
28% approval, 28%.
the Buccaneers, the poll itself got about 1,400 votes. Can't vote twice unless you're a lunatic and a programmer. So a lot of votes, not a small sample size. Was only up for 24 hours. And very good, Ira, 29.5%.
See, I do read the site.
29.5% said yes, bring back Charles Sims.
50 on a no?
57% no, and 13, they don't know. They're not sure.
Or don't care.
So that's
yeah, I don't know.
That's pretty split.
And DeKemper loves those results. He's a big smile on DeKemper's face.
So that's pretty even though. 57% don't want him back.
Twice as many don't want him back as want him back. Twice as many.
Well, the people who don't know, they don't know. But still, what do you do with Sims? And I don't want to hear about, well, you draft this. What do you do with Sims? You got to make a decision in 27 days, if not sooner.
Well, if you're bringing back Jaquizz Rodgers.
No, see, you're giving me other guys now. What do you do with Charles Sims?
If you bring Rodgers back, you don't bring Sims. What do you do with Sims?
What do you do with Sims?
I wouldn't be shocked if he's back. I wouldn't be shocked. Cutter likes him, and for good reason. How many times
good
do I got
reason.
Gentlemen, how many times do I got to say this on the podcast? In 2015, for whatever reason, and I think the biggest reason was Cutter had his mitts on that offense 7 days a week, 24 hours. He hasn't had that the last 2 years. That's not Cutter's fault. He's the head coach. But when he had his mitts on there, when all he was thinking about was his Bits' podcast and how to maximize this offense, Charles Sims was tremendous.
I don't know about
tremendous.
That.
Did you hear that word?
You have low standards by calling him tremendous.
And I've said it many times on this podcast. He had a phenomenal season backing up an all-pro running back. 1,000 yards from scrimmage. That is unbelievable. Yeah. He's not, he's averaging 2.9 yards a carry in 2016 and whatever he averaged last year.
Over four,
which you don't want to admit. You don't want to
I
say
I just
it.
Told you. Yeah, I don't
and when
admit.
I prodded you, you said it. Lee, what is it about this guy that gets under your skin? He's a situational player. Can he can he catch a screen pass and take it for 14 yards? Can he catch
a
bubble screen?
You're
going to
be very surprised what I say here. But I got a preamble. First, Charles Sims sucks as a running back. He's brutal. Sucks. Look at all the running backs
Didn't
they could have had.
Didn't you just hear that 4 point yards a carry? Didn't you just hear that?
Come on. But I will say this.
He sticks in your craw.
Yeah, for good reason. He sucks.
Craw,
I'm sorry.
Not craw.
Not craw. Craw.
Why? Why are you on? Why does this guy get to you?
Because he sucks. I'm sorry. The Bucs have a brutal running attack, and he's one
Charles
of the biggest.
Charles Sims happens to listen to this podcast, Steve, and I wouldn't be
well,
shocked
if he gets mad at me.
If he doesn't talk to DeKemper this fall when he's back on the Bucs.
Well, I hope that motivates him to get be a halfway decent running back. But Chris Myers nailed this guy perfectly. The Bucs preseason play-by-play guy on TV, WFLA Channel 8. He never refers to him as a running back. He refers to him as a receiving back. And as a receiving back, he's good. He led the Bucs in yak, which screams something right there when a running back.
Yeah, it screams they should bring him back. That's what.
Well, it screams something about your wide receivers not getting any yak. But I would bring him back for that reason. He's good in the pass game. The problem is he sucks as a runner. You put him out on the field. Everybody knows what's going to happen. Everybody knows what's going to happen. It's a pass. So you're tipping your pitches. However, he is talented at catching the ball. That's the only thing I could say about him. And for that reason alone, he's a pseudo-weapon. I would bring him back.
You know what? From DeKemper's point of view, that's a rave review over there, Steven.
At least calling it straight.
Try to be objective.
Did he just say he'd bring him back?
Yeah.
He's one of the
He just said he'd bring him back, yeah.
Where's Jaquizz Rodgers fit in?
I wouldn't mind bringing him back either, but here's the thing. They need a difference maker at running back. Gosh darn it. Rodgers is a nice backup. He plays special teams, good guy. For the right price, I'd bring him back. I'd bring Sims back, too. But, gosh, darn it. Here's the way I look at it. I know I'm jumping all over when I say this. I'm jumping to a different subject. But if I was Jason Light, I'd be more inclined to go get Barkley than I would be Chubb. Again, jobs are on the line this season. Barkley could be your huge difference maker. The Bucs' offense was horribly one-dimensional last year. Well, your offense is no longer one-dimensional. So if you got to trade up, if there's a couple quarterbacks that get drafted, first or second, I don't care. The future is now for Jason Light. Go get Barkley.
Steve,
and then when you get Barkley, then you go out and reach for a guard. All these people are out there wanting a guard at number 7. Well, that son of a gun better be John Hanna if you're drafting a guard
at
7.
I believe I made DeKemper's point in my Monday column because Lee hasn't read it yet. and you haven't posted it yet.
It's stop complaining. 11:30, it's been up.
I'm about the latest number on you.
Uh-oh.
And it's a hell of a number.
Hit us.
Original research, gentlemen.
Yes.
Because I was writing about Warhop and the running game, which ain't been diddly for 2 years.
Yeah, the run game.
Rushing attempts, Bucks, 2017. I think the number was about 385. All right, 385 for the season. Number of runs that gained 20 yards or more, 5.
Oh, really?
5. 5 out of 385. I'm going to do the math for you, gentlemen. That's about 1.5% of your runs.
Oof.
Number of runs that gained 40 yards or more. Bagel. No cream cheese. Bagel. All right. So that's 5 runs.
No locks?
Total season that gained at least 20 yards.
No locks.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, it is.
It's pathetic. In 2015, I didn't check the number, but it might have been 15 or 20 that gained 20 yards. Most of them was by Doug Martin, who was spectacular. And your boy, your new guy, Charles Sims, added maybe 4 or 5 of them. Steve, they don't have any breakaway threats back there. And that's a big part of it. Explosive plays. Cutter talks about it all the time. They don't have it in the run game. That lends credence to Barkley or some kind of a breakaway back with some speed. You got to have it. Right now, they don't have it.
No, it's not an element to their running game. I was just really enjoying the Charles Sims chatter. And I think
Lee's waffling a little bit.
No, he didn't waffle at all. He said Sims sucks as a running back. He's a dangerous.
But I want him back.
He's a dangerous weapon in the passing game. Bring him back.
You want to weigh
Lee's
in on this
Lee's
poll?
Lee's not saying start the guy.
Yeah.
He's saying he's
you want to weigh in on this poll? Where are you, my friend? So far, you got 2 positive votes here.
I would bring back Sims for this reason. If I'm in charge, I think Dirk Cutter's going to bring him back. Jason Light, they love the guy.
Plays
special teams.
Pretty cheap, right? Going to be pretty
cheap. Sure, you would think. Although, if he's any good, somebody else in the league is going to want him. So there's that, which is always fun to see. But I think Charles Sims, I forget which game it was this year, he had one big 3rd-and-14 run conversion where he flashed his moves and his talent and handed them the ball third and 14. He got like 18 or something. It was a big play, and
Kemper dropped his binoculars.
He caught, I think, a winning touchdown against the Jets. I think he caught
last year?
Yeah, in 2017. So he had 2 plays that were critical to victories, special plays.
And in the 2016 opener.
Well, forget about that. Yeah.
See?
If you want to go back, I'll give you better. He made a play against the Eagles when he was a rookie. First off, it was a fantastic throw by Jameis, but he made a play on that pass. Holy smokes.
Yeah, 25th. Yeah, it was 25th.
All of a sudden, we're on a Charles Sims bandwagon.
Well, no, yeah, and Sims had the fantastic, looked like the game-winning run where he got past 6 Falcons or whatever it was, 5 Falcons, juked
That's
them all.
That's 2 years ago.
That was 2016.
But let's see more of that, once every 8 or 9 games.
Here's the thing. Sims is the kind of guy who literally can win one game a year for you on his talent. And there aren't many guys like that in the league. And if you start collecting guys like that, all of a sudden, hey, the Bucks have some playmakers. They won some games off the back of this guy. It's just like having a cornerback who is okay, but he's good for 1 or 2 pick sixes a year. That we like those special players. So
if
on that
combine
alone,
combine him with Barber and a breakaway back, which they don't have. You got to go get him.
Yeah.
Not on the roster. Yeah. That's the beginning of a fairly decent back.
Well, Steve kind of touched upon this, and I like it too. He used the word fun, and I agree. It would be very interesting to see what kind of market Charles Sims has. And if he comes back with the Bucks, that tells me NFL doesn't think that much of him.
There's no question he's considered a third down back. There's no question.
Sure.
Well,
sure.
You put yourself in his shoes. Let's say Belichick offers him a decent salary, and you're Charles Sims. Like, do I want to stay in Tampa and continue to lose, or do I want to go with Belichick, get a raise and a ring, or the Eagles, you name the team.
Right.
So if he comes back to the Bucks, that tells me the market for him wasn't that huge.
That's also Charles Sims. That also ties to teams can re-sign their own guys at any time. So if the Bucks want him, they're going to sign him before he ever hits the market. So we'd never really know.
I still think Cutter likes the guy.
Well, we know Cutter likes that guy, but he also liked Doug Martin, too. How'd that work out?
Yeah, we get worried about whoever Cutter likes, at least a running back.
Cutter also liked Vincent Jackson. We all did. But look how that turned out. He never came back from his knee injury.
So, Sage, all right. So, again, 29 days, free agency. Your Buccaneers, we don't have to talk about all of free agency
now. They're going to be active, Steve.
We got more podcasts.
But I don't see them making huge splashes, if there are any huge splashes to be made with this free agent crop. There's some quarterbacks out there the Bucs aren't going to be involved with. You know, they're not going to.
Cornerbacks or not?
Quarterbacks.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not going to be involved with Kirk Cousins.
Let's say hypothetically, it's hypothetical. I have no inside info on this. Let's say they go out and sign Deion Lewis. Would you not consider that a big move?
I consider that a significant move. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, I would. I wouldn't be shocked if they signed a center. I wouldn't be shocked.
No.
Now, that's not a sexy move, but if it moves Marpet back to right guard, and I'm like pissing into the wind here. I'm the only guy who's still on this.
All right, so
I don't agree with the move. I don't agree with the move. I'm sorry.
No, I don't like it either. We're going to talk about your column with
Marpet's never going to say anything negative about that move to center. Never going to say anything.
Well, how much slack do you give the guy? That's the first time he played center in the NFL.
I give him slack, but I thought he was really coming on as a guard, and I think he's on the verge of being a Pro Bowl guard. You know,
The move failed. I mean, Marpet was not better as a center, and why are we sitting here playing with a 9-7 team playing, let's develop a center, let's bring a guy at right guard who's got
I'm not down
bad
on Allie Marpet. I like him at right guard.
I understand.
I think the Bucks at center just think they have to draft a center because you can't – if you plug in a free agent center, then you're old. You're old along your line already.
Well, not if the guy's 28, 29.
Then you're all veteran. You got no young guy developing in there. If they stick with Dotson, you've got a bunch of –
The Falcons picked up a center in free agency, and all of a sudden, he solidified their whole offensive line a couple of years ago.
That's if that guy's out there. So free agency. So you think the Bucks are going to spend, but they're not going to splash? Is this what you're saying?
I think they're not going to splash.
Lee, what do you think?
Well, I kind of agree with Ira. I think they're going. You know, they're looking for value. They're going to look for solid guys.
A corner could cost money. A corner. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it will. And I don't know. And there's the thing. They painted themselves in the corner. Unless they're going to trade for one, they really don't have any choice.
And we don't know about Grimes.
Outside of a running back or a corner, I kind of agree with Ira. They probably won't make a huge splash. They're going to sign free agents, but it's going to be, you know, middle-of-the-road guys. Solid guys, not splashy guys. Solid guys that can plug in holes, with the exception of possibly cornerback and running back.
Would Deion Lewis command a hefty salary?
No. He's not. I don't think he's looked at around the league as a guy who's just going to take the rock 20 times a game. And those are the guys who get the big money. Who are viewed that way as 1,200 yards.
You know, in this day and age, very few guys carry 20 times a day.
Well, I'm going to throw something at Pat Kerwin, and there's a little Deion Lewis story. Did you hear what happened between me and Deion Lewis at the Super Bowl media opening night?
Oh, I want to hear this, baby.
By the way, before we get to that, let me throw something out here because it ties before I forget. Look, if the Bucks don't make a big splash in free agency, you're going to have a riot from the fans. That is what's going to happen.
They already have it because they didn't change the coordinator.
So no coaches, no big coaching change. And all of a sudden they've got a pile of money and they're not going to splash in free agency, or the team would be out of its freaking skull. You got Jason Light making videos saying we're going to do everything we can. Baloney. I believe Jason Light, but you got to spend money.
They're going to spend money, Lee, but it's going to be 5 or 6 medium-priced free agents.
Well, what about left guard, right? So Kevin Pamphile, Evan Smith experiment there. They split time. We don't know what the Bucks are going to do. Nobody's re-signed there. They need a left guard. Forget about the other guys. They need a left guard. So are they going to get a $3 million left guard, or are they going to get the best guy available for $9,
$10 million? They're going to draft a guard. How do you like that? There you go.
Lee, what do you think they do at left guard?
I think it depends what happens with free agency, first off. I don't know if they're going to target one or not. I'm inclined, like I said earlier.
Well, that's what I mean. Were they going to buy a left guard?
I say no. I think they'll try to plug in Pamphile. Here's my thing about the guard. I know a lot of people are all aroused about this character from Notre Dame at number 8.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's a reach. I don't.
Polian says you don't take a guard in the top 10.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, I know. That's a reach like hell. But
Hall of Fame.
I'll say this, but if they somehow keep on the number 7 pick and trade up and get Barkley, you know, let's say they trade a bunch of future picks, but they keep the number 7 pick, then I'm okay with drafting this guy because you've already made a massive investment in Barkley. So, of course, you'll want extra blockers.
Wait a minute, you want Barkley and Nelson?
It can be pulled off.
What are you going to do? Give up the hangar space at Tampa Airport?
Well, like I said earlier, do you think Jason Light and Dirk Cutter care about draft picks 3 years from now?
Well, that's where the Glazers could step
in. Yeah, I don't know if the Glazers would let him do that. Now, let's go back to the Glazers. Do the Glazers going to open the vault here? Say, Jason, here's the checkbook.
Would you?
What are you asking me? I ask you a question.
Track record of free agency.
This gets people all worked up. I mean, I've written about it a couple times. Do I think it's going to happen? Hell no. But right now, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Le'Veon Bell's playing hardball with the Steelers. The Rooneys aren't known for busting the bank on free agents. If that guy makes the free agent market, and if the Bucks got him,
if there's any chance to get Le'Veon Bell, I want him.
If there's any way the Bucks get Le'Veon Bell, then I am 120% getting this guy, this guard out of Notre Dame.
There's your marketing campaign for 2018. We got Bell. Ring those bells.
Ring the bell.
He's a singular talent.
Oh, Kenny Bell's available.
We get all the Buck fans psyched up on this podcast, and then there's been some pricks to the balloon.
Well, I do think he signed with Denver right after the Super Bowl, right after the season. But, yeah, if they somehow got Le'Veon Bell and they kept that number seven pick, I am throw all your chips on the table for this guard.
And Steeler Nation would run Tomlin out of town in Pittsburgh, I tell you that.
Not Tomlin, it'd be Rooney.
It would be hard for them to give up Bell. I mean, that they...
That's a 100-to-1 shot.
He said on TMZ he'd play for the Jets for $100 million.
I'm a big Carlos Hyde guy. Lamar, look at the guy.
Solid running back.
The poor guy has played 4 years for four head coaches and four offensive coordinators on bad teams.
Why does Lynch want to let him go?
Well, he's always hurt.
He's not always hurt. He's got 950-something yards each of the last 2 years. I think he's only missed like three or four games over the last 2 years.
Got any wiggle to him, or is he a plotter?
In Shanahan's offense, he caught 50-something balls this year, which they didn't really think was a skill set of his.
Can he break a run once in a while?
He's a good running back. So I'm all for take the good guy and worry about the draft later.
You like Isaiah Crowell?
No, he's known as a head case. And no.
Had some big games for Cleveland. He did.
He's also got a way better offensive line. There's a lot of O-line talent in Cleveland, but there's also good guards in Cleveland. The problem with DeShone Kizer is not pass rush constantly in his face.
Whereas the Niners don't have much.
The Niners haven't had much, and it's 4 years, different coaches, turnover, whatever.
Staley that keeps getting, he's on fumes.
Now, Lee, wouldn't Lynch want to surround Garoppolo with weapons, and wouldn't I be considered a weapon?
Well, there you go. Or Lynch just said the other day, free agents, keep us in mind. We got cash to spend, and they do. He's also got draft picks. So if the Bucks are going to be there, it looks like the Bucks are going to be fighting the Niners. And Lynch has a deeper pocketbook now because all that salary cap space. They're going to be fighting the Niners.
Quality runners.
I hear you. Tim Ryan, who played, you remember him on Sirius. He quit Sirius Radio. The last 4 years, he's been Niners analyst, 49ers Radio Network. And he was on Sirius the other day saying, Hyde's earned his stripes. Proven himself. He's had a tough go with these coaches and whatever, and I'd bring him back, but I think the Niners might let him test the market.
Then they got to go out and get a running back.
They can't?
They've got the draft capital. They got a lot going on there, and I think they like one of their backups too, but look, Hyde might want to test the market. If I was paying 13% California state tax all the time, I'd probably want to test the market too.
Could the Bucks find a running back in round three? Could they?
Have they? I mean, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you can always find a running back late in the draft. And in theory, that's correct. But I did some quick research the other day. The past decade, or this decade, I should say, and for those who might be don't know the definition of this decade, starts with 2010. Bucks have only gotten two decent years out of all their draft picks at running back. Two decent years. That was Doug Martin. Two decent years. Out of, what, seven guys they drafted in this decade? Two seasons.
Asking the Bucks to find a running back in the third round is kind of like asking your landscaper to cut your hair. I mean, you wouldn't trust the guy. See, There's no reason for it.
Chiefs and the Saints, they found gold in the third round.
A lot of teams did it. A lot of teams have done it. It's just the way it is. Carlos Hyde was in the second round, late in the second round when they drafted him.
I'm going to hit you with the running back question here, Ira. And this is, Pat Kirwan was talking the other day on Sirius NFL Radio, and him and Matt Millen are tight, and people think Matt Millen, like, oh, my God. Matt Millen is pretty good X's and O's. Lousy GM doesn't mean doesn't know what X's and O's. And he breaks down film with Matt Millen a lot.
Right.
And Kirwan was saying, in the last 3 or 4 years, offenses are more and more incorporating spread option type plays. Defenses to combat that are slowly getting smaller and quicker. Now, Kirwan said some teams, the smart teams, your Belichick's of the world, Doug Peterson, they're recognizing this. So, okay, you're going to get small on defense, smaller and quicker. We're just going to pound the ball at you. And he said, look at the teams that were successful in the playoffs. They had running attacks. Because he said, okay, you're going to combat these spread offense plays with smaller backs or smaller defenses, smaller linemen? We're coming at you. So is there a trend there developed going back to the running back?
Steve, to pile on what Lee's suggesting, this is something I left out of my Monday column. I had it written down, and I forgot to put it in there. I didn't want you to read any more than you had to, and it was already getting long. Steve, for people that think we're spending too much time on the running back situation, the ground game, the Bucks' woes in that respect, the top 10 teams in rushing yards, 2017, the top 10 teams, 9 made the playoffs. Mm. 9. The outlier were the Cowboys. who I believe were number two to Jacksonville.
And Elliott was suspended for how many games, yeah.
That's right. You know, Dallas is always going to be up there in rushing because they got three fantastic offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm. And that,
Elliott. That's their offense. Mm-hmm. So they didn't make it. It wasn't like Dallas finished 5-11 either. 9 out of 10. Now, part of that, to be fair, is, well, you got a heck of a team. You run the ball more than other teams because you're ahead. You know, you don't stink like the Browns. You know, some other teams that we don't want to mention.
Yeah, right across the bay.
You know, and so you're not throwing 40 times a day. You know, I understand that. But that's a strong statistic.
Yes, it is.
Nine out of the top 10 rushing teams made the playoffs.
That's not an outlier.
And three of those live in the division. And they've all got good running games.
Look at you right away.
Well, you start to add up, okay, worst running game of the division, check. Worst quarterback in the division, check. Worst head coach in the division, check. That's a big ladder to climb.
That's a trifecta.
So, yeah, like the Bucs, it's a need for the Bucs.
Will Winston be the worst quarterback in the division next
Well, as soon as Breeze
year?
Retires, no.
It's not an insult, Ira. It's just the reality.
Yeah.
It's not an insult. He's not.
We're not knocking him.
He's not Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, or Drew Breeze. He's not there yet.
Yeah, Dirk Cutter always talks about that. You got... He's first pick in the draft, but look at the other quarterbacks. You got one guy that's going in the Hall of Fame. You got another guy was MVP. You got a third guy that was MVP. All three of those guys either won a Super Bowl or have played in Super Bowls. So, I mean, the talent level's huge. That's not a knock on Winston. That's just how good
the talent is. All right,
fair enough. Sage, your column. Very interesting column you had on Monday. We're going to close the podcast on this, but there were some really interesting nuggets in there, Ira. You dissected this Jay Hayes ousting. You tied it a little bit to some of George Warhop's inefficiencies, and you found what felt like some double talk between Dirk Cutter talking about the running game and then the realities of the running game and Warhop and the O-line performance. And I've got a nugget you didn't have in there that I want to throw in, but what do we need to know here? You think Warhop's on a hot seat?
Lee, I had a quote that I found from November. The Bucs won in Miami, but, you know, Doug Martin didn't have a good day, averaged 2 yards a carry. But
imagine
the Bucs won. Bucs won the game anyway. The day after, on Monday, Cutter was asked about Martin's ineffectiveness, you know, which he was every week. And Cutter steadfastly,
for 2 years.
And you know this, Lee, week after week, he would steadfastly defend Doug Martin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in this particular case, the quotes were strong, saying it's not Martin's fault. He didn't have anywhere to go. It's on the O-line. It's on the tight end. There's more to it than meets the eye.
But yet his backup had better production.
So, Lee, I made the point that if you take out the 2015 season as an outlier, that was the year that Cutter focused all his attention on the offense. And they had a franchise record-setting offense.
Mm-hmm.
Great ground game. Martin finished second in the league. Sims was good. They averaged 4.8 yards a carry as a team. That's a tremendous number.
And they were in a wild card race, so they puked all over themselves in St. Louis.
So, Steve, I said if you take that out of the equation, Warhop's been here 4 years. Not Jay Hayes 2 years. Four years.
Mm-hmm.
He was hired by Lovie Smith. So I gave him a pass for 2014 because he had the Tedford fiasco. So I felt that was fair. But, Steve, if you take 2015 out of the equation, that leaves 3 other years, 48 regular season games.
Well, you just gave him a pass for Tedford.
I'm not giving him a pass. Now I'm taking the pass.
Well,
they averaged 3.7 yards.
Last 2 years, not good.
You know, shouldn't Warhop be on the hot seat?
No. I'm not saying hot seat. I'm not saying he should be raked over the coals. He's fair game. But
also, they got sacked 40 times last year.
Well, I'm going to have Steve bring up this subject. It comes from Next Gen Stats. That's not a bunch of Irishmen in their dorm rooms who don't know what the hell they're doing, grading guys half hour after a freaking game with no coaches tape. And Next Gen Stats, they look at data from these computer chips about when they get hit, when, you know, things that it's indisputable because it's all documented data as far as timing, as far as blocks, things like that. And Steve dug this up. Steve, why don't you enlighten Ira and our listeners what the Next Gen Stats said about Bucs block run or pass blocking, I should say.
Well, they had time to throw. Jameis had time to throw, 10th most in the league. And most of the guys who had the most time to throw were, most of the guys who had the most time to throw were mobile quarterbacks, young quarterbacks who are sort of making time. Now, it's a little skewed in some ways because it's time of release of the throw. So the faster release I have, the less time I have sent from the snap of the ball. It goes from the snap of the ball to when I release the ball, and Jameis doesn't have a fast release.
So the Bradys of the world. you know, that get the ball out quick, he might be penalized.
Those guys are farther down the list because they get the ball out faster. No. They get the ball out quicker, right? So if Jameis decides to throw the same time Tom Brady decides to throw, Brady gets the ball out sooner,
because he has
less time. So the point is,
it could be skewed a little bit.
He had time to throw, so we're looking at, and I don't think even just using the naked eye test, 40 sacks, that's fine. Pass blocking was not the problem on this team.
It was okay.
And on top of that, people overlook this. I think it was Chris Sims a couple weeks ago that said this, and I took it to heart. It doesn't matter how good your team is. People are still going to whine and complain about the offensive line. The Bucs offense played probably the best it played in the month of December, probably. They had three starters out.
Yeah, that goes to my point that I made in the article, which stunned you, Isbits, for 11 weeks. It's two-thirds of the season. Lee, you didn't realize this. For 11 weeks, the Bucs had the same five starters, except for week two when Evan Smith subbed for Pamphile, and that was a coach's decision.
Okay.
Pamphile wasn't hurt. 11 weeks. They had no injuries among the five starters. That doesn't happen, Steve. And still, they had no running game.
That's a fair point.
Somebody's got to take the heat.
And their best offense in December is when guys were hurt.
So Cutter wasn't blaming Martin. But then later, you know, we get comments from Jason Light saying that and Doug Martin didn't produce, and that was a big part of the season.
Right.
So it's like
because by the time Jason Light was talking, it was in Jason Light's mind that Doug Martin ain't coming back.
Yeah, so it's double talk. But then you've got – so Warhop has got these same 11 guys, and nothing's happening week after week after week with plenty of options in the passing game to open up the running game.
And the crazy part, like Lee said, when they put the subs in – they ran back.
Right, so
now they put Peyton Barber in it.
That's Green Bay, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So it's ties to Peyton Barber, but we do know that Warhop, we do know he's developed young guys. So I look at him in a more positive light, Ira. He had those rookies, Marpet and Smith, ready to play. Marpet was even changing positions at a Division III.
I wouldn't say they both took a step up in 2017. I wouldn't say that.
But 2015 they were ready. He's developed some of these other younger guys. Kevin Pamphile went from a fifth-round pick to somebody who was a solid player.
2015, I thought Warhop was fabulous. You know, you got Winston, a rookie quarterback. He took every damn snap.
Yep.
Every one.
Donovan Smith, every snap.
And they got
rookie.
A franchise record offense.
So, I guess the question is, are you more saying that Warhop should go, that they should look for an upgrade, or that he is going to be scrutinized and maybe that's the next shoe to drop?
Well, I keep coming back to one thing, Lee, and it's a tough pill to swallow. This offense hasn't been very good since Cutter became the head coach instead of the offensive coordinator. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
It's just a fact.
Outside of a couple games, you're right.
They were a lot more balanced in 2015 when Cutter had his thumb right on that offense.
Well, why was that? Doug Martin, period, end of sentence. Doug Martin was productive, the offense hummed. Doug Martin wasn't productive, they stunk. I mean, it's as simple as that. I'm sorry.
Maybe it is as simple as that, but
I mean, they bring in Barber at Green Bay.
You know,
they should have won that game. He ran for 100 yards.
I guess I'm suggesting Cutter's got to be more involved. Somehow, some way, he's got to be more involved. That's why he's got the job.
He's got to be less loyal.
He's got the job. Because he knows how to call plays, and he knows how to put people in position.
People listening to your podcast that ran off the road when they heard that, because they're of the mind that he can't call plays. We're talking about coaches on the hot seat. How does John Hoke stay employed if they're getting rid of Jay Hayes? We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
It's a great virtue he has that he's loyal. It's a great virtue. It also can be a double-edged sword. And that's what got him in hot water. Well, I don't know if hot water is the right term, but that doomed him with Martin. He was convinced Doug Martin was a Pro Bowl running back that he was for only 2 years, and that was going to magically reappear when even Steve and I and you could see that he was
gone. Steve, if I had to bet on it, I would bet the Hayes decision was not solely Dirk Cutter's decision. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, because of the timing.
It was not solely Dirk Cutter's decision. There were other factors.
Are we going all the way to the top of the penthouse suite here, Team Glazer? Is Team Glazer tired of reading status woe on JoeBucksFan.com? Is that what you're saying?
It smells like Glazer.
Maybe Light's saying we should have had more production. We should have had more production. Hayes didn't get the most out of the talent we had.
It took a month for him to figure that out.
Doesn't mean I necessarily agree with that.
Yeah, but it took a month for him to figure that out. That's interesting.
Well, that's why I floated. If maybe they decided we're going to keep the same guys so we can't keep the same coach. I don't know.
If it was Cutter's decision and he had turned on Hayes, Hayes would have been out on January 4th.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's just really bad. It's weird timing, not bad timing. Well, it's not good timing.
And it's not fair to Jay Hayes. That's a fair point, Steve. It's not. I bring it all back to where
it
we began.
It all comes
I
home for the
circle,
stage.
Baby. The circle of life, Steve.
All right, Ira, you have been fantastic as always. You look chipper, dapper, not a day over 80.
I'm getting ready for Spectrum Sports. I got to talk about the Bucks. Might be a Jay Hayes question in there. I got to be ready.
All right, more Russo.
No more Russo, baby.
So, Ira, 10:30 p.m. Mondays and Fridays, you are on Spectrum Sports.
This time it's going to be Monday and Wednesday. We're taping two, and the second one's going to be on Wednesday.
All right, so Wednesday we can find you Spectrum Sports. And is the for your latest taping here, are they going to be talking about the Rays Stadium?
I believe they are. I believe they are.
You know what? Let's do a little bonus quick take on the Rays Stadium.
Lee, a little bonus.
Ira, do you really believe in your heart?
I know where you're going.
You believe in your heart that Tampa, with no money, they got no money in Tampa, none. They don't have all the tourist dollars that they got in Pinellas. They got no money. Do you really think a stadium's going to end up in Tampa?
Lee, I'll put it like this. What do we got? What do we got? Shimmering, beautiful. Water. Putting the stadium, there's no water. Yeah. Lee, you got to take advantage of your natural surroundings. I don't think that stadium's ever getting built, Lee. I don't think it's ever getting built.
No, I don't. I agree with you.
Pie in the sky. Unless Sternberg is financing two-thirds of that stadium,
or
and he's not going to do it.
Or there's a supreme heavy hitter's got major
Mr.
investments
Vinick?
Down. Yes.
If Vinick never count gets, Vinick out. Steve.
If Vinick somehow gets involved, it's a done deal.
Never count Vinick out. It could be part of his whole channel site project. Could be the centerpiece.
He might be able to bring money to the deal, but
he's already propping up the Tampa Bay Times. Let him prop up the Tampa Bay Rays.
He's paying money to the Times, or
but
he's
of course he's an investor.
Are you worried to hear this?
They announced it last year. He's one of those five people that are investing in the Tampa Bay Times.
Is this?
And they didn't announce his name for 6 months, and finally it came out in the Tampa Bay Business Journal, and it was acknowledged.
Was this the same story that some?
You got to read the paper.
Well, no. Was this the same story about some guy with the Washington Post or some heavy hitter in Washington was also involved?
I don't remember.
Ira, that's
there's like five people.
Ira, that's a loan. They loaned the Times money. They didn't invest in the
financier.
Propping them up.
They didn't get you. All right, propping them.
Propping them up.
Yeah, but you confused me when you said
he's not an owner.
Yeah, that's exactly when you were talking. I thought what Steve was thinking, that he was a part owner. Right. He's an investor.
Propping them up.
I got you.
Ira, look.
He's a loan shark.
When he prop up the trip 3 years ago, I'd still be covering the Valspar tournament over there.
I'm with Steve. It's not exactly propping him up.
Well,
I get it. He propped him up. He helped out. It's another community effort for them. Hey, let's help the local newspaper thrive.
A community effort where he...
I think it was a no-interest loan or something.
The Times is writing 250 stories a year, which they should, about Jeff Vinick and his plans and his properties, and they got a financial arrangement with the guy. I have a problem.
Make
that Pointer Institute.
I got bigger problems. Well, how about the Washington Post? They never write anything bad about Amazon. No. But I got other ethical issues.
Sage has a problem with that. By the way,
we're coming back on Wednesday, Valentine's Day, and we're going to do another podcast.
You mean you're going to blow off your wife?
I didn't say that. I think I'm going to buy a couple of lobsters and bring them home. That's very romantic. Oh, that's romantic.
With butter?
That's right. Oh, yeah, you got to have the butter.
Okay.
And a little beet salad to start. Steve, what's wrong with a 2-pound lobster? You got a problem with that?
I don't know what to say.
You're speechless, Steve.
Get out of here, Ira. Go and hit the seafood market.